A beatdown over Albany, but do we have more questions than answers after taking down an FCS opponent? We'll get into that, all of it, coming up on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome in. This is the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Tyler Aki, Tim Leonard. We are wherever you get your podcasts, and that includes YouTube. Maybe you're subscribed to us on Spotify, Apple, all that stuff, but also be sure to check us out on YouTube as well. We'll be bringing you some extended coverage throughout the year. All things Syracuse with you. We're also probably going to squeeze in some basketball later on in the week as well, so be on the lookout for that. Also, find us on Twitter at @LO_Syracuse as well. We're always tweeting along the games, getting your thoughts. And boy, were the thoughts flying. The thoughts were flying. I mean, the Tommy and Garrett camp, there were some converts over the weekend, certainly. I think that is certain. But there's some people on the Garrett Schrader Hill still. And we're going to get into all this sort of stuff, your Twitter reactions, all that fun stuff. But first, I do want to remind you guys that there is no better place to get all of your ACC conference news than the Locked On ACC podcast, hosted by Candace Cooper. Follow Locked On ACC on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. They're always talking about some Syracuse stuff on there. All right, let's just get into this quarterback stuff, because people have thoughts. People are angry. People think that, okay, if these are our two options now, the season's over, which, to be honest, I don't think that's a super far-fetched thought. I'll throw that out there. But did Tommy DeVito do anything over the weekend, or Garrett Schrader for that matter, do anything over the weekend to prove that they do or do not deserve the job?
Well, I don't really need to see anything more from Tommy DeVito. Like, my opinion on him is kind of set. So I was more just wondering, okay, what is Garrett Schrader going to do in this game? And I don't think he did enough for me to win that job, at least right now.
Did he do anything for you?
He did. I mean, it wasn't like a total disaster, but when he's throwing downfield, it's not clean. He had a bad interception when he tried to hit Max Main on kind of a post pattern up the seam that just is, you know, there's too many mistakes right now. He's not a polished product at quarterback. He's basically the exact opposite player of Tommy DeVito. All his strengths are based on improvisation and, you know, just instincts. And I think he does bring something. Like, it wasn't all bad. I mean, he went down the field a couple times, but it's Albany, so it should have been better than what it was.
What we said heading into this game, no one should win the job off of this, but you can lose it, certainly. And I think Garrett Schrader did more in this game to show to me that he doesn't deserve the job. I was not super impressed with the way that he ran the ball. I know he had the two touchdowns, but you go back and watch him, He essentially fell forward on that first touchdown against a clearly inferior defensive front. And then on the second touchdown, you could argue he didn't, even though he did get in, you could argue that he did not make the right read off of it as well.
Jarvion Howard about certainly that. Thinks so. Exactly. The way he reacted. Yeah.
I mean,
that wasn't great to see.
I think there were some frustrations with Garrett. And I do think that there are some ways to incorporate him into the offense. But there's a very specialized way to do that. And you see this with a lot of quarterback projects. You essentially have to cut the field in half with them and get them outside the pocket. And Garrett is someone who I think could maybe succeed a little bit in that sort of offense. But you are limiting your playbook, and you are completely changing your playbook, because I don't think Tommy's a guy who you have to do that with.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it's pretty clear. You know, we thought this going into the season, Tommy DeVito is the better thrower. He's probably the better overall player for Syracuse this year when you factor in knowledge of the offense. And again, I know people are yelling at us right now, but we're two guys that don't like DeVito that much. We're just understanding what the situation is. And the situation is, okay, after Rutgers, I was saying, yeah, let's see more from Garrett Schrader, because you got to give him a fair shot. Dino promised him an opportunity to compete for the job. That's why he was so adamant probably on trying to work in two quarterbacks to this point in the season. But let's face it, all our sort of excuses for Schrader last week, they don't really apply after Albany. Everyone that was saying, I want to see more from Schrader, they were saying, okay, he was backed up to the 10-yard line. He was only out there for three drives. He couldn't get into a rhythm, couldn't get into a flow when he got going. And I was one of those people that said, why'd they pull him out when he finally got some momentum? And I thought Dino completely mishandled it against Rutgers. But in this game, He could get into a rhythm. He could get into a flow. He was out there for a long time against a bad team, had lots of time to throw, had good field position on drives. So the reality is he hasn't looked as good as DeVito, if you're just being objective about this thing. And maybe he has more potential. Maybe there is some sort of like annoyance that we're settling with Tommy because we know what we have there. But in order to win the game next week, you got to put out the player that's looked better than the other one. And it's pretty clear DeVito's looked better.
I think I still have some Dino complaints from this game, but I think in terms of how he managed the quarterbacks and the playing distribution, I thought he did perfectly. I thought it was a perfect split. You gave Tommy a quarter. I know that there was the weird little injury, so he missed a drive and Garrett came in for a little bit, but he did it perfectly. He knows what he has in Tommy DeVito. And Tommy, I think, had a solid game. He had the interception, but that's probably more on Trevor Peña than it is on DeVito when it happened. But what I saw from Tommy was a guy who was playing against a clearly inferior opponent and knew how to exploit that. What I saw from Garrett Schrader was a guy who cannot pass from the pocket. He needs to get outside the pocket if he wants to make things happen. And when he did, I thought he was all right. But when he was a pocket passer, that's where his interception came. That's where some of his misses down the field came. Guess what? Tommy DeVito hit on a couple of his deep balls. You know who didn't really exploit that? Garrett Schrader. And if this offense wants to move and wants to do more than just pick up little screens, because there was a stretch where it was just screen after screen after screen with Garrett Schrader, and you're not going to be able to run those plays against ACC teams or even your next opponent, Liberty.
So maybe that's the case now that people tweeted us this week, is that Schrader is better used against a legit team, because DeVito is always going to look good against a bad team. It's like DeVito in practice. He always looks good in practice when he's got a clean pocket, but we're not worried about how he's going to look against Albany. We're worried about how he's going to look against Liberty and the games that are coming up on the schedule once you get
Florida
to State. ACC play.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know, DeVito against Albany is always going to be good. I mean, that pass he hit to Damian Alford, Garrett Schrader doesn't have that. That's, I mean, he maybe does, but it's not as accurate and it's not on as tight of a spiral. And
he might hit it DeVito one out of every seven times.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Schrader. I think that play that he had with Alford, I think DeVito hits that probably seven out of seven times, maybe six. Maybe he botches one. I think when he's got the time.
Well, let's think back to week one. What were we saying? Tommy didn't hit his deep balls enough.
That is true. That is true.
Like, you know, you got to be fair here. I mean, I do think DeVito's a better deep ball passer than him, but that's also because Schrader just has not really shown us anything in that regard. He's underthrown several times. He tried to hit Quealy in this game and was underthrown. So,
in general, with the deep ball, you can't have that ball be underthrown like that, because I know some people will say, oh, you can get the penalty. If anything, you overthrow that ball because it doesn't end up in a turnover, and you can maybe set it up for your guy to make a really nice play, a diving catch. But when you underthrow that ball, I mean, Garrett could have had two or three interceptions in this game, I think.
Right. And I don't think Garrett Schrader is a bad quarterback. I'm not saying that it's like incredibly obvious to me, but the situation is this. You start the game with Tommy. You see how he's going. If he's playing well, if he's getting protected, he's probably going to be fine. He's probably going to hit a deep pass every once in a while that Garrett Schrader probably couldn't hit, and he's going to make some plays for you. If he's playing poorly, good news. You got a solid backup option that can be a momentum change for you. And I do think Schrader's probably better equipped to play against some of these good teams in the ACC and show off his skill set that way, because when the pocket collapses, which it didn't really do against Albany because they're just dominating in the trenches, then maybe we see a quarterback that is a better equipped for that situation with Garrett Schrader. But the game plan should be DeVito starts, and when we need a momentum change, when he's not playing well, which could happen frequently, and once it happens, I'm all for bringing in Schrader.
I've got a few more DeVito Schrader thoughts that I'll get to in just a second. But first, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? It's the daily fantasy made easy. I love it. I know you're going to love it too. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power Five, as well as some mid-major players you maybe haven't even heard of. They've got some depth on their roster here with Prize Picks. So that you think of any sort of prop, whether it's yardage, touchdowns, even picks thrown. You might want to do that with some Syracuse players coming up. Just saying. But all of your users that deposit and use the promo code LOCKEDON will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just pick 2 to 5 players, over-unders on some projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. You can even mix your sports as well. You can take an over on LeBron combined with an under on DeVito or something like that. Mix it up. Do some things that you like. You don't just have to fixate on one sport. That's why Prize Picks is so great. You can find their award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play, and it only takes 60 seconds, maybe even less sometimes, to make your picks. Super easy, safe, and fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. All right, we got a tweet over the weekend. I think it was directed at me, actually. And it just said, Tyler, why are you dying on this DeVito Hill? And to that, I say, I'm not dying on the DeVito Hill. I just saw what I saw over the weekend. There was one quarterback who could make his deep throws, was a decisive runner, and made the plays when he had to, and took advantage of a bad defense. And there was one quarterback who didn't. And I do want to get to the running element of this a little bit, because what I see out of these two quarterbacks as runners, I think DeVito is a more decisive runner. I think, especially when the plays are drawn up for him, I look at Schrader and it feels like he's scrambling more than running. He doesn't have the same sort of athleticism that I thought I was going to get out of
Schrader. Yeah, but is that a bad thing? I don't think that's bad.
Yes, I think it is because it looks like he's searching for 2 to 3 yards and trying to just move forward as opposed to avoid a loss. Whereas with DeVito, when he's starting to make a run, I feel pretty confident that he's going to get somewhere around 4 or 5 yards. And sometimes he can break off a bigger run. I don't think Schrader's nearly as fast as DeVito either. I think the speed advantage is definitely in DeVito's camp. I just see a guy, and I think part of it too is Schrader's a lot bigger than I thought he would be. He looks a lot bigger, and that can be a little bit tougher on a runner. I just don't see the speed and the running element as it was promised to me. I thought he would be a much better runner than he is. And to me, it looks like DeVito is the much more polished and more decisive runner out there.
I think we disagree a little bit there because I view
like, what have you Schrader's seen though out of Schrader as a runner?
And he had a nice run. I've seen some little nice pieces. I mean, he throws pretty well on the move, I'd say. He had that one play against Rutgers where it was kind of dangerous. He did kind of throw back across his body to Taj, but that's the type of play that I see something there. There's definitely, if we could iron that out a little bit, like he's mistake prone at times, but he's also going to do some things that are really good for you as well. And we talked about a lot with DeVito. I want him to take more chances. So I wish that he had a little bit more of that trait the Schrader does have. But you talk about his size as like a negative. That's a huge positive for me as a runner. Like there was one run where he kind of leaned into the guy and he's not going to get hurt as much as DeVito. I mean, if DeVito keeps running like this, I'm a little worried that we might see Schrader out of default. Like he's been running a lot and he's taken some hits out there. That one hit we saw knocked him out for a little bit. I mean, that stuff's going to keep happening. It's not just going to happen against Albany, like Florida State, Wake Forest. You know, he's got to make sure that he's looking for the sideline and being careful when he runs because he's not Schrader. His body can't take hits like that.
Well, I think Schrader, I mean, he's so thin, too, out there, too, where I feel like he's going to take some hits in ACC play. I don't think anyone from Albany was necessarily going to be able to deliver something that could really injure him. But, I mean, both of these quarterbacks, at the end of the day, anytime they take a drop back against any opponent moving forward, they're susceptible to injury because the offensive line still needs to be better. There's no doubt about that. You can do it against Albany, fine, okay? Against Liberty, against Florida State, when you start facing some dudes that are 350 on those defensive fronts, I'm still afraid that this Syracuse offensive line is going to get pushed back. And you're going to need to
see. But Schrader's not thin. I mean, what's he, like 230?
I think he's a pretty big skinny dude.
He's like 6'4". I mean, he's a big dude. I'm not worried about him getting hurt as much as DeVito. And I do think they're different running styles, but the thing with DeVito is
running styles. Yeah,
when the play works and he runs, like it's good. Like he's probably got an underrated sort of legs and his mobility in the pocket might be, if anything, underrated. But I still think Schrader is a better runner than him. I'm not.
I just
to
see
say.
Schrader. It almost feels like he's so clumsy back there at times. I feel like he's a guy
that
who's
was
almost like
dungy
falling over
too,
his own
a little
feet.
Bit. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, but Dungy ironed it out.
I don't care how it looks as much. I just.
But it hasn't looked good. And it, like, even when it doesn't look good, it's not delivering results to me in the running game with Schrader. He had the 1 and 2 yard touchdown runs that he essentially fell forward on. I wasn't super impressed with what he did around the goal line. And I think part of that, too, also harpens back to what Dino Babers was calling around the goal line. And we can get into some of that. But I would have liked to see a lot more sort of Schrader designed stuff when they were, let's say, 7 yards out, as opposed to when they were 1 or 2 yards out. I thought Dino used the run game too much. This was a preseason type of game. The result was well in hand after the first quarter. I would have liked to see more stuff. Okay, what can Schrader do throwing the ball in the red zone? What can he do on some design runs instead of handing the ball off every single time?
Yeah, I guess you can make that case a little bit. Dino was interesting after the game. He said, I handled this differently than I would a normal FCS type of opponent. And then he sort of was like,
he handled it like a quarterback battle. Definitely.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, because he said, basically, I'm just going to leave my comment there. Like, I think what he was saying is he put the quarterbacks more at risk. And usually in a game like this, you would just, okay, we're up and, you know, we're going to get out our stars. We're just going to try and make it through this healthy. And we're not going to try anything that puts anyone in jeopardy. And he was like, yeah, some of our guys could have gotten hurt out there based on the stuff that we were doing. So they definitely just
Sean Tucker
gave a little bit more. Yeah. Right.
Why he played a full half is beyond me. I mean, he was a star in that half plus, but you know what you have in Sean Tucker. All right. You could have pulled him after the first quarter.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for me, it was kind of cool to see him just keep going for the record books in a way. So I wasn't like, get him out of there. But you got a point. The other thing is they've got all these other talented running backs. Like Jarvion Howard's throwing his hands up. We talked about after the Garrett Schrader play, and he's all upset. And he's got to just be upset because he's a talented dude that hasn't seen the field. And then it's Albany. Okay, this is my chance to prove that I can work my way up. And now it looks like, if anything, Abdul Adams is the guy working his way up, because they released the depth chart the day we're talking here. And now they've got another or, and it's Abdul Adams or Cooper Lutz or Jarvion Howard in the two spot there. Howard's got to be frustrated. It's such an odd situation at the running back, because we've got such a good one and then three other pretty solid ones. In a dream scenario, like, I wish we could make a trade there and trade like two running backs for a right tackle or something, because it just doesn't really, we don't need those guys the way Sean Tucker's
or a receiver.
Yeah,
listen, like, you look at some of the receiving numbers, these FCS games are where receivers should be padding their stats, right? And you go to the box score. I mean, I'm looking right now. Syracuse, from a receiving standpoint, you should have multiple guys with 100 yards in this game.
Right.
And Tucker catches the screen pass, so his numbers are a little bit skewed here. But Alford had the 73-yard catch. Your guys who should be going off in this game, like Jackson and Queely, 47 yards, 25 yards. I mean, Luke Benson had two early catches, and then he got a little banged up. Sherrod Johnson, one catch for 11 yards. Like, these guys should be in the 80s, 100s in a game like this. And it really started to make me worry about the receiver room. Maybe not started to make me worried. I think I've had my worries with the receiver room, but something needs to fix itself. And I know Taj didn't play this game, and I think if Taj did, he would have well eclipsed 100 yards, probably would have caught a couple deep balls as well. But I'm not encouraged by these numbers out of the receiver room either.
Well, we've had some fans tweet at us and say, where are the young receivers? And I've been eager to see them as well. And I wouldn't say this was a glowing review from what we saw. I mean, actually, the guy that stood out the most is probably Devon Cooper. And he was not on my radar as a guy that should be standing out or should be playing significant time at any point this season. So
you and I watch a lot of NFL football. You know who Devon Cooper, like the way that he sort of slid in there and the role that he's got? There's that guy on the Cowboys now. He wears number one. His name's Wilson, I believe.
Yeah.
I like the role wise. I feel like they're very similar. And people who have watched a lot of Cowboy football probably see what I'm talking about here. But he like slides in and he made some nice plays. I kind of liked him.
Yeah. He provided a little bit of energy. I mean, it's Albany, so you should be making plays like we're saying.
Right.
But yeah, I liked him.
Yeah. He was given an opportunity, and I feel like he made the most of it. I mean, three catches, 26 yards, had the 21-yard little screen and run with it, too. So I kind of liked what I saw out of him.
Yeah, Pena didn't look good, and I feel like they're kind of similar type of players. I mean, Pena, the interception was mostly on him. He's scaring me a little bit when he's returning punts. I, I know he's got that big playability. He actually ran one almost all the way back. Then it was called back, and we can get into the penalties because they were outrageous still. Yeah. But yeah, Pena is still scaring me a little bit out there at times.
Yeah. All right, we will get into Dino Babers, the penalties, all that stuff, because there needs to be a lot of fixing there. But first, let me tell you about something that is not so fun to talk about. It is excessive sweating. You know when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason? It can be very embarrassing. Now, it's not life or death, but there are moments where it happens to you and it feels like the earth is just crashing down on you. No one likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or God forbid, first date. That's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. All you got to do, apply it at night before you go to bed. Then the next morning you wake up, wash, and go about your day. Don't have to worry about any of that excessive sweating. Guaranteed. I know it sounds too good to be true, but literally you just put it on once, maybe twice a week, but usually just once a week, and you're good for the entire week. No more pitting out, no more picking shirts based on which ones will hide the sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you gotta check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, or you can find them at Amazon and CVS.
Also want to remind you guys about Built Bar. They have 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor. And this week, that limited time flavor is cookie dough chunk. That sounds right up our alley, Ty. We're going to have to get our hands on that. That is,
yes,
we love all the chocolate Built Bars. So right up our alley.
I'm a huge cookie dough guy. Like any ice cream, cookie dough for me.
Right. Cookie dough just out of the can is always kind of enjoyable as well. If you're really feeling down in the dumps, that's a good one to go to. The other 9 flavors, coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, which we love, double chocolate, salted caramel. So there is something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And again, just this week, that limited time flavor, cookie dough chunk. Most of the flavors have 17 grams protein and only 130 calories. So they are tasty and good for you. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that promo code is LOCKED15, all one word, for 15% off at builtbar.com.
I do want to hit on a text we just received, Tim.
Okay.
A text from our buddy Drew Carter that just came across the wire. And for those who don't know Drew is an announcer for ESPN, and he's actually doing the Syracuse game. He was one of my roommates, one of our good friends during our time at Syracuse. He's doing the Syracuse game. He's going to come on the show later on in the week. I think we're targeting Thursday with him. But he sent us a picture of his notes for the game that he's doing this week. He's already started working diligently with it. And under Sean Tucker, the note just says, get him in 44, question mark. And I do want to address this a little bit, all right? He's fantastic. I love Sean Tucker, but I'm not giving him the number 44, a number worn by College Football Hall of Famers, a number worn by NFL Hall of Famers based on a 5-touchdown performance against Albany. I need to see it for the length of a year, okay? Because he wasn't that great against Rutgers, okay? So
he was good against Rutgers. I mean, what do you have? Like, he's ever been bad.
He hasn't been bad, but like, I still need to see a little bit more. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, 44. That's some hollowed stuff. I think those guys who wore the number now are so far removed that people forget how good they were. Like, some people think Jim Brown's the best running back of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
Sean Tucker is not going to be the best running back of all time. All right. Yeah. Sorry, I've got breaking news for you here on the show. Give me a scoops point here, because Sean Tucker is not going to be the best running back of all time. I love Sean Tucker. I think he's a fantastic running back. But, like, is he even Jim Brown would be a shoe-in right now, a preseason All-American. Sean Tucker wasn't even a preseason All-ACC, okay? So let's slow the roll here a little bit on this 44 stuff.
The team has a lot to do with that, right? And I think you got to be on a better team to deserve that jersey. Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm not usually the guy that's bringing down the Sean Tucker momentum. So you're putting me in an unenviable spot here, because we love his Twitter.
Love Sean.
We love his game. Yeah.
Oh, he had an all-time tweet too. That's one of the things I'm pressing Drew. I'm pressing Drew to get the Sean Tucker tweets on the broadcast this week. And I think he's going to fight for it.
Talk about that.
I think he's going to fight for it.
Well, anyway, the other thing is, like, go back and watch the plays. I mean, yes, the guy went for 5 total touchdowns, but some of the ones that were in the red zone area, I think he wasn't even touched. Like wasn't he just ran outside zone and chased his way in there. So yes, it's Albany. Let's keep that.
And
in
I
mind.
Will say, yeah, he popped off against Albany. I think a big part of it is because it was Albany, because we've seen some of those runs where they're 70 yards and 50 yards where he gets chased down at the end. And
so many arm tackles from Albany that he was just racing through. And it's like, yeah, that would have been a stop there. But again, he's tremendous. I love him.
No, he is fantastic. And I think he very well could work his way onto the All-ACC team this year. But
yeah,
I do want to say, and the announcers brought this up, they were talking a lot about how he was busting off all these big runs, the 70 yards, the 40 yards, the 50 yard stuff. He was dog ass tired during this game. And you could see him on, he was very winded on the sidelines. And I didn't understand why Syracuse kept him in much longer than the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. I think they probably could have taken him out earlier, because if he gets hurt, that's a nightmare. I mean, he's the best piece we have right now. He's the thing that
on either side of the ball.
Yeah, he's going to lead us to wins
the
most.
On either side of the ball.
Right. And but man, I will say he looks good in the passing game. Like, I didn't think he was going to be this quickly developing into a really good receiving option. And I know it's Albany, but the way that he caught the ball, turned up field, made some moves in the open field after making a nice catch. Some of them weren't the easiest catches in the world. Like, I think that's definitely an area of his game that he's really improved this year.
Yeah, because he's tough to bring down. He falls forward. He does a lot of really good things as a running back that you want to see. And you're right, he is translating some of it to the passing game as well. And a big reason why I was upset with how long he was in, it wasn't necessarily just because of the injury factor. I mean, he could have gotten injured on play one, right? I mean, that's just football.
Right.
But to me, it felt like it kind of ruined how you discern what quarterbacks can do in certain areas. Like, there were some times where I think Syracuse had they were on the 17 to start a drive or something like that. And they just handed it off to Sean Tucker and he ran his way into the end zone. Why? Because he's way better than anyone on the Albany side of the football. But I would have much rather like to see, okay, what does Garrett Schrader here do, whether he's running the ball or making a passing decision here from inside the 20? I would have liked to see some of these red zone opportunities set up for the quarterbacks, because what did we talk about last year? This team was so bad in the red zone. And I want to see what one of these quarterbacks can do to discern themselves and take an advantage here in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tough line to balance, because when Sean Tucker was out there, and some of the examples you're talking about is first quarter when they're still trying to build up the lead, and you don't want to go too far into trying to figure out the quarterback to the point that you're making this more of a game than it needs to be. But
it felt like from the first snap, you knew who was going to win this football game. I mean,
they were going to win the game.
Not only was Albany an FCS team, they were a bad FCS team at that.
It's also like, you know, you want to see Garrett Schrader out there with the ones around him, with Sean Tucker around him, because that's ideally what the situation will be once he's maybe named the starter or playing in a significant moment in ACC play.
And you can do that. That's fine. Again, my problem wasn't that he was out there per se. It was that he was and continually getting the ball, because I would have liked to see what these quarterbacks can do in the red zone. And I feel like Dino kind of fumbled it there. We got to talk about these penalties too before we get out of here. I mean, 16 penalties for 164 yards. Let's have some discipline on this team, okay? Because all of this falls back on the shoulders of coaching. And at least it looks like they got a referee in practice, because I don't think there are any illegal formations. But let me go through some of these here, okay? There were 14 accepted penalties in this game. How many do you think were on the offensive side of the football?
Well, I mean, Sean Tucker had a face mask. I was just going to say there were some face masks. It had to be a good chunk of maybe 11 or 12 offensively.
13 on offense, 1 on special teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clean bill of health on the other side of the defense.
Back. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the defense, I think, did its job in this game. But yeah, a little bit of a breakdown here. 3 face masks, which I can't get that upset about face masks penalties, because sometimes you're going out for a stiff arm and a guy's helmet is just there. Moves his helmet.
Right.
Gino talked about that. He
said, I don't really care about the face masks.
Those are hand of combat penalties. I'm not going to get upset about that. But the false start stuff, there's some stuff that I want to get into there. Personal fouls, the targeting on Anwar Sparrow, who came into the game. Like, thank God Anwar Sparrow is not an important part of this team and has to miss an important half of football next week. because
that was why as are we clear as targeting penalties? Gets.
Yeah. In the fourth quarter, late in the game, like, you got to be smarter than that. You just got to be smarter than that. And you wonder if this comes back to coaching and the discipline that's set up in practice, because it needs to be better.
And I'll say this. Dino seems to really be addressing that. And he's talked about a lot in his press conferences recently. So that's encouraging to me. We get on him for his press conferences sometimes. But if you go and watch back this one at the end, he was like, oh, I got it. I want to talk about the penalties. And he actually asked the reporter who was relaying how many they were to write them down, because he was like, we're going to talk about this again. And he said, we talked about it at halftime. I'm going to talk about it again. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. And that's a huge issue. And he definitely seems to know that that is coming back to him, and he wants to address that. So I have a good feeling that they're going to get that ironed out a little bit, because he's going to make that such a point of emphasis in practice this week.
Well, the thing that's frustrating too, you bring up how, okay, we're going to address this at the half. They had 8 for 79 yards in the first half, and then another 8 for 85 in the second half.
It's a lot. It's not good. Right.
Yeah. And it comes back to coaching, and at least Dino is accepting responsibility for that, as he should. And the false start stuff, I do want to talk about that a little bit, because some of that falls on you're making a switch at quarterback. The cadences are a little bit different. That fumble that happened with Garrett Schrader, that's not his fault. That, in my
making
opinion,
some switches on the offensive line too this week.
Yes, yeah,
rotating
Aaron
guys.
Service.
In.
He's going into center now. But that fumble that happened on that one of those first snaps that Garrett took, to me, that's not on him. That is on the fact that you're making these in-game switches at quarterback. You get different cadences. You get different rhythms out there. You'll see it all the time. I mean, I know I like to bring the parallel back to the Chicago Bears frequently, but Justin Fields, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears this past week, had 2 false start penalties. 2 false start. You never see a quarterback get a false start, right? And it comes back to you're throwing in a new quarterback. You're acclimating them to the center and to the rest of the offensive line. Things change. Things get a little bit murky at times for you, and the rhythm is disrupted, and that's why you see some of these penalties.
Yeah, and I think that's something we can address tomorrow, because we're going to talk more about offensive line. But I did like that they made some changes to the offensive line, and I like that they did it against Albany, because you can get away with it. And they probably knew that, okay, if we threw them in there and threw in some different positions, I know Service has played center a lot, but to just throw him out there against Liberty probably would have been a mistake, because the penalties would have been just as much, and they would have really hurt you in a game against Liberty.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Tomorrow we'll get some leftover thoughts, your Twitter reaction as well, because there were plenty of Twitter thoughts from over the weekend, including with the quarterback battle. So we'll discuss all of those and maybe even get into some basketball stuff too. The schedule's out, Tim. It's all concrete. We know what we're going to see for the upcoming basketball season, so I'm excited about that. Double dose of Duke in Kay's final year. I think there were some strings pulled there. So just my little conspiracy there for you. But that's coming up on tomorrow's show. For Tim, I'm Tyler. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.